السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. يا الله، please open the hearing channels of our hearts to your dhikr, to that which reminds us of you. Ameen. In the context of the, in this case, the envelope of our suhbah, of our fellowship program, the context of that, the envelope of that suhbah, as you mentioned, being Sidq, and the other components we have been speaking about from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of our saintly scholars, rahmahullah ta'ala. We, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully, we keep that in mind, we remember that, we absorb that, we review that, and we, inshallah ta'ala, may we be blessed by all of that, inshallah ta'ala. In that context, I continue. We were expounding upon the also the suhba in which knowledge is sought, knowledge that helps us or is intended to be actualized in our lives throughout the spectra of our lives, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one other text, in this context of the essence and the spirit of our fellowship, as Al-Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and many others related, and Ibn Hibban and others related, rahimahullah ta'ala, a famous text. Many of you should know this text, or at least part of this text. And it is very powerful and very, very pertinent to our suhbah gathering. ما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله. ما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله. يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده وذكرهم الله في من عنده. This part first. The text has a continuation. Whenever any group of people come together in a house of the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you are in one, they come together in a house of the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, yatluna kitab Allah, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of God, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and they learn from it and they study it together amongst themselves. To study it. To, with the hope of extracting the beautiful meetings and the beautiful gems and teachings spiritually and morally and ethically and socially, etc., that are in there, the divine communication to us. And that's, we amongst ourselves, we study it together. When they do that, this is what Allah guarantees to them. If they do that, obviously with the proper shurut, with the proper conditions of sincerity and of sidq and so on and so forth, or at least seeking sincerity and seeking sidq and so on. What will Allah do to them? نزلت عليهم السكينة. Literally it says سكينة descends upon them. سكينة from the word in Arabic سكانة, the verb سكانة means what? To be still, to acquiesce, to be calm. That's why we say مسكن or سكن. Your home where you live, your abode where you live is called your second, your meskan, because that's where you go to find quietude and tranquility and you rest. It's supposed to be that way. That's why it is called a meskan, a second. I am physically and emotionally in tranquility when I am there. That's my second, that's my meskan. And so the sakina is this condition of the heart, if you will, first, and of the mind even, where one feels tranquil, quiet, secure, peaceful, and expanded, mutma'in. Says, نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَ. Something of divine dimension expressing or spreading this condition of sakina descends. Now, I think perhaps if you did not experience it, alhamdulillah, I believe I have experienced it, and I hope many of you have experienced it. I hope all of you have experienced sometimes at least sakina when you were in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal together, and when you were in some form of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, which includes studying the book of Allah Azza wa Jal with the intent of ibadah and of practice. When you are absorbed in that, it's a dimension beyond the physical one. It takes you in your mind and your emotion away from your daily concerns, isn't it? Because, and it's not something tangible, it's not something physical. It takes you away from the physical, away from the physically tangible. It is more emotional, it is more psychological, it's spiritual. So it involves you in that. In a sense, it took you from one dimension and put you in another dimension of existence. And since you are away from the dimension of trouble, physical things, worldly things, finally through dhikr, you get away from that. And that brings you peace. Your blood pressure lowers. Your high-temperedness is controlled. And you even feel, oh, I hope you all tried it. Wallahi al-Azim, under any condition you are. And then you go read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. You just go and read. Even when you say, well, I'm in a condition where I can't even hold the book. I can't. No, just go. Do that. Open the book. Open it up. You asked me to open it. Open it. Read. Read. I can't read. Read. But that's all those are hurdles. Nafsani hurdles and shaitani hurdles so that you don't benefit. But once you begin to do that, wallahi al-azim, no matter how stressed you are, no matter how anxious you are, if you did that, wallahi al-azim, it goes away. Mujarrab. Not for once and twice. For years. By experience. Nazalat alayhimu sakina. It's simply, in a sense, you can, this is a probable psychological analysis. Which is what? It simply takes your internal energies and channels them somewhere else. Channels them somewhere else in a different world that is quieter, gentler, better, outside of the material. And once you get out of that, you find your peace. And then you get out of that, and then it puts you in a different reality, a spiritual reality. And that brings you, after security and serenity or tranquility, it gives you after that joy. نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة, says he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And rahma, divine merciful love, or divine loving mercy, that's rahma. Rahma غشيتهم, غشا means envelops them, covers them, meaning their hearts, their lives. That as long as they are in that reality of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, or of ilm of the Qur'an, yutadaras, as long as they are in that condition, they are in the rahma of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have Allah Azza wa Jal, imagine just metaphorically, he sends a bubble called a bubble of rahma, and everybody is in that bubble. That bubble is so thin but so powerful that nothing can break through it. But you see through it everything else. غشيتهم الرحمة. A person in rahma. Oh. The divine loving mercy. You are in my rahma, ya abd, as long as that's what you are doing for the sake of me. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ. Thirdly, another beautiful thing, وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Now, if we do that sincerely, you can swear by Allah, when you are in a majlis of dhikr, and we pray that this one is a majlis of dhikr and of ilm in the right, with the right conditions, I can swear to you that angels are here, surrounding this majlis. حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And some people have seen angels surrounding majalis as a karama from Allah Azza wa Jal. Some have. I told you about sometimes Sidi Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and in his moments, and then he sees. And others. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels surround them. Surrounding them, these angelic, divine, beautiful, nawarani creatures, implies, inshallah ta'ala, that those people, you, are in the angelic protection. The angels are praying for you. The angels are invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. And they are in dhikr along with you. And they are celebrating you as women and men in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they communicate that to the higher uppermost dimensions, which come with the next statement that Rasulullah said, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. You are in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal here through ilm, then this ilm and the malaika are surrounding you, Allah knows in, you know, in which form, assume a cylinder in space-time made of malaika from earth to the uppermost dimensions. And then in ways beyond our four-dimensional construction, the divine Allah Azza wa Jal is in dhikr of you. Then God subhanahu wa ta'ala is in dhikr of you in the midst of the nawrani angelic creatures in his presence subhanahu wa ta'ala, beyond any conceived of construct. Bin ghayri tashbihin wala tamthil. حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Subhanallah. Think of that. The divine subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning you, your names, and who you are, and especially probably the good names that you are known with. this Sadiq, this Kareem, this Rahim, this Halim, this Sabur, this Adl, this Muhsin, this Kada, in addition to your name and perhaps the name of your father and or mother. ذكركم الله في من عنده. The Sohbah, togetherness in ilm, in this constructive ilm, in this beneficial ilm, seeking it for the sake of implementing it, for the sake of khashiyah, for the sake of living a life consistent with the awareness of the Divine subhanahu wa ta'ala over us, and consistent with His infinite beauty. Now imagine something very, 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 very clean. Anything remotely tainted blemishes it, isn't it? The divine is infinitely beautiful. If I know that, how can I, with that, live deliberately life with stains in the presence of infinite beauty? How can I lie? How can I cheat? How can I backbite? How can I be unclean with najasa? وَذَكَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. When I know He remembers me in this way. A suhba like that, alhamdulillah, maximizes the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. The essence of our suhba as well, inshallah. The text continues to say, the same text continues to say, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ وَمَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَسْلُكُ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ بِهِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. نعم. وَمَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَسْلُكُ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ بِهِ الْعِلْمِ أو عِلْمًا إِلَّا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And whenever any man embarks on a path seeking ilm, knowledge, and therefore beneficial ilm, as you mentioned earlier, seeking knowledge, anyone doing that, by doing that, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, facilitates for him an avenue, a path, a way to paradise, to Jannah. By every path one takes to seek ilm, العلم الذي يقرب من الله, العلم الذي ينتج خشية الله, خشية الله, علم that produces reverent awe for the divine, knowledge that brings the person practically, experientially nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeks that ilm. Every time one embarks seeking such ilm, Allah azza wa jal, in ways divine, opens for him, traces for him a path to Jannah, to paradise, which basically means every time you take or I take a path of ilm, I am actually programming for myself by the divine will a path to Jannah. So every time I am in ilm, I am making, I'm programming my way to Jannah. Every time I take a different path of knowledge, I'm programming many different ways to Jannah. To the extent, inshallah, I will have many ways to go to Jannah. Not only one way, to be in the divine company. Because obviously, here is there is a sort of an iqtida or an ishara that when I seek ilm, since ilm is intended to teach me how to act properly, every time I seek a new path of ilm, I learn new ways of acting properly in my life in general. And if I act properly, the act is ibadah. The act is what is rewardable. Not that I know. Knowing is not by itself rewardable. Only if it is, it leads to practical, positive action. If I have ilm and I don't use it at all, let's say I have ilm of the ultimate ilm of tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I do not practice tawheed, what will that help me? In what will it help me? It won't. What if I know, I have the knowledge of the virtue of morality, the virtue of goodness, the virtue of justice and of benevolence and of kindness and of forgiveness and of compassion and of fairness, but I don't practice either? That's not what ilm is for. If I learn ilm nafi', ilm opens for me ways to act. And when I act, I'm rewarded by what I acted upon. And that's a path to Jannah, because the reward is in Jannah. And he continues to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I think what is coming next is very interesting, if you can read in it the relationship between ilm and amal, the relationship between knowledge and amal, and acting upon knowledge. When he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of this text, وَمَنْ يُبْطِئْ بِهِ عَامَلُهُ عَامَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. At the end of this text, that exhorts us towards ilm, towards knowledge that is beneficial, he says at the end, وَمَنْ يُبْطِئْ بِهِ عَامَلُهُ. He didn't say وَمَنْ يُبْطِئْ بِهِ عِلْمُهُ. He's speaking all about ilm, but he says now وَمَنْ يُبْطِئْ بِهِ عَامَلُهُ. Whosoever his or her deeds slows them down. He didn't say his knowledge. He spoke of knowledge, and at the end he says, whosoever his or her deeds slow them down, slow him or slow her down. Meaning what? This in the subtle ishari way or qtada'i way, meaning that ilm that I spoke of is for amal. That ilm that I spoke of is for amal. And the worth of your ilm, the worth of your knowledge, is the extent of your amal with that knowledge, is the extent of your action upon that knowledge. وَمَنْ يُبْطِئْ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ, he says. And if your actions slow you down, then your lineage does not help you. Your lineage does not speed you up. The fact to be a sharif is beautiful. But sharif, noble of lineage, without amal, doesn't help you in the way you think it will be. What helps me is my, by the grace of Allah, my amal, consistent with the right kind of ilm or knowledge. وَمَنْ يُبْطِئْ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ, said he, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah, said he, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Now this takes us now into another dimension as a consequence of what we have spoken about, what we have spoken about so far, alhamdulillah, is this the underlying drive behind our suhbah and what this means to us, this majlis of dhikr and of ilm. That first part. Now in this one. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم. Verily Allah Azza wa Jalla, God purchased, bought from the believing man and women, from the believers, their own selves, their own nufus, and their own wealth. In exchange for which they have Jannah. In exchange for which, بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ Jannah. Now Jannah, فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. In Jannah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, is that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no heart has ever felt. Jannah is the ultimate, infinite pleasure of the soul and of the body transformed in the other dimensions. The ultimate pleasure of all of which is ru'yatu Allah Azza wa Jal, is this vision that one would have in Jannah of the Divine Himself in ways beyond description and beyond conceptualization. For that, Allah says in this ayah, ishtara. Ishtara literally means to buy, to purchase. God, yashtari, God buys. Doesn't he own everything? Doesn't he own everything? He owns everything. But he says, ishtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum. Let's say a few things. He bought from the believers their own nafs, their own nufus, their own selves. You give me your nafs, I give you Jannah. And he doesn't need your nafs. He made it, he created it. Keep that in mind. Give me your nafs, I give you infinity. Give me the finite, I give you infinity. Your nafs is finite. Anything else is finite, I give you infinity. Give me this nafs that I gave you, that I created for you, and I pay you for that, and I give you in exchange something else. Will you do that? You own something, and you say to somebody, can I buy it from you? And you pay them. Or you own something, and somebody has it in their possession, and you say to them, can I borrow it from you? And I give you back, when I give you back, I give you back a lot more than that. If you do that, you are such an incredibly, incredibly, incredibly magnanimous, benevolent, generous person. You don't do that. First of all, in the spiritual realm, ajib, Allah speaks to us with adab. Allah asks from us with adab. He doesn't say, it belongs to him. He says, give it to me. It's his. You're abusing it. Give it back to me. It's his right, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He owns it. But he says, he sees us abusing it, and he says, can I buy it from you? La ilaha illallah. Or can I borrow it from you? من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فوضعف له أضعاف وضعفه له أضعافا كثيرة. Who amongst you will give me a loan, a good loan, and I will multiply it for him many folds? He says, like, this is, la ilaha illallah, this is sort of adab from Allah Azza wa Jal to the creature in asking us something that is good for us, which is his in the first place. Do you see what I mean? Ajib, the divine uses this gentle way, this adab way, to want from us something not for him, to want from us something that ultimately is for us in ways that are many, many, many folds. Now, give me your nafs means what? When he says, give me your nafs, no, sell it to me, sell it to me. Stop selling it to others. Sell it to me. How do we sell our nafs to others? By indulging our nufus, obeying our nufus for other things other than him. So when I indulge my nafs, حسب ما يقتضيه هواها وحسب ما تقتضيه شهوتها أنا إذن بعتها لغرض دنيوي. When I use my nafs for my hawa and for my shahwa, low and base and unethical and immoral and prohibited and hurtful and so on, and selfish and arrogant and deluded, I indulge the nafs. The nafs has become slave to something else. In other words, a slave is what? Is owned by a master. So my nafs has become, I sold my nafs as a slave to something else other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And the more I sell it to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, the more it is what? In servitude, in slavery, in humiliation, in lowliness, in baseness. Abdun lima siwa Allah. Abdun lidirhami. والخميصة والأكل والشرب والنكاح واللعب وو وو وو. So if I don't sell it in inverted commas to him, I have sold it to other than him, and other than him is zero. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of selling it to those things, sell it to me. And when you sell it to me, once you sell it to me, you are free, completely free. Why? Because if my nafs I dedicate to the divine, and therefore the divine norms and the divine attributes, I liberate my nafs from the attachments it has for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Eating, drinking, copulating, sleeping, playing, power, resource, matter, kada, kada. I liberated the drives inside, the attachments from all of that. None of that is there. Allah bought it. And Allah is not material, is not created so that I experience the constrictedness of the nafs when it is slave to material things. Allah is not material, is not created. My nafs relating to Allah does not have a realm of constriction. فَتَتَحَرَّرُ مِمَّا سِوَاهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. I buy you and you become a freed slave. That's what it is. You sell your nafs to other than me, and you'll remain forever a slave. sell it to me, and you are free. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Why do I lie? Why do I cheat? Why do I backbite? Why do I hurt? Why do I commit injustice? Why do I usurp? Why do I kill? All of that because of drives inside of me other than the divine presence. And that's servitude, and that's slavery. The attachments I have inside of me, an attachment, an emotion is an attachment, positive or negative, and that's servitude. يشتري الله سبحانه وتعالى نفسك منك simply means sell it to him. In other words, لا أريد إلا ما يريد. Until I get to the point where I desire only what he desires. I do not will except what he wills. لا أريد إلا ما يريد. Once that happens, I am free. عجيب. And in exchange for that freedom, he gives you Jannah. In Akhirah. But in a subtle way, when he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ means if in this dunya you sell in this metaphorical spiritual way your nafs, your drives to Allah, you have Jannah, بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. When you are liberated from that, you have inside of you paradise. You have no more slavehood attachments to other than him. You are liberated in this dunya. So you have Jannah in your heart where only Allah is. In this dunya. That's why some of our awliya ulama have mentioned these meanings. That the seekers of dunya leave this dunya without ever tasting of the sweetest pleasure of this dunya, in this dunya. So what is it? They say, Al-unsu bi dhikrillah. To achieve this spiritual solace inside of you through dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, liberated. Jannah in this dunya, when your heart is freed and liberated from the yokes of attachments to other than Him Azza wa Jal, liberated. Hurr. And he says, سبحانه وتعالى ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد. And yes, there are people, there are human beings, there are men and women who do that practically and actually, not only theoretically. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. There are those who sell their nufus, their selves, i.e. they liberate themselves from their own drives while seeking the marḍāt of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ridwan of Allah Azza wa Jal, the satisfaction of Allah Azza wa Jal, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. And they do that, which means when they do that, that's not easy generally. That's a nafs, as we shall learn. It's an ongoing battle of the nafs, and in which one has to resist the drives of the nafs, the intellectual, ideological, philosophical drives, as well as the sensual, material, physical drives. And that's very difficult. Perhaps that's why Allah says, وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Because it is so difficult, it is so hard, says Allah, Allah is ra'uf bil ibad. Allah knows that, and He is gently kind to His servants. In other words, He will help them. In other words, He will not impose on them that which is beyond their capacity. Ra'ufum bil ibad. Fi mujahadatihim nufusahum. Fi bay'ihim nufusahum min ajli Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the striving against the nafs. In that struggle, in that battle, Allah is with them. He knows it is difficult, so He created it for them. He will be with them. Wallahu ra'ufum bil ibad. Walladhina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana. As He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, confirming the same meaning. Those who strive and hard work hard in our way, we will lead them and guide them, inshallah ta'ala, to the paths that lead to us, says He, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Our quest, and this is the first module of the year, تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ. I said in this first class, inshallah ta'ala, this is the introduction to that path and that discipline of tazkiyatul nafs, as I elected it to be this time. Please review that well, ponder that well, develop questions if you have them well, try to find the answers yourself, and then, alhamdulillah, we will have Q&A sessions almost every session, inshallah ta'ala, after class, and we will deal with those issues bi-idhnillah ta'ala. So this is the essence of our suhbah. Lastly, it was about the nafs, is to reform the nafs, to transform the nafs, to polish the nafs, to purify the nafs. إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي. Nafs is indeed evil commanding. We all have that evil commanding nafs inside of us. Our task of ubudiyya, and so Allah created us, is to be mindful of that and mindful of the potential of good also that we have in us. And in the struggle of life, we need to weigh between the pros and the cons, between the negative drives inside of us and the positive drives inside of us, and equipped with knowledge, we need and we must make the right choices. We make choices on the basis of being informed properly. And that is the path of life. The path of life is choices to make. Right choices or wrong choices in life, at all levels of life, based on information. And that information was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent to us His most elect human beings, His anbiya and His rusul, and ultimately with the last and the seal of all the anbiya of the rusul, Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we are informed through that first and foremost, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to communicate with us in ways that are not nabawi, or in ways that are not the ways of the anbiya, but the ways, other ways of less than the ways of the anbiya, to keep helping us subhanahu wa ta'ala to walk the way to Him for our own felicity, for our own happiness in this dunya and in akhirah. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina maulana muhammadin al-fatih lima uliq wal khatim lima sabaq mu'alni al-haqq bil-haqq nasir al-haqq bil-haqq wal-hadi ila siratillahi al-mustaqim wa ala alih حق قدره ومقداره العظيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. I would like also, حفظكم الله, if it was not said to you before, I'm not sure, that every class we complete, everyone is responsible for everything that was said in the class. Not only that was written or recorded, but everything that is said in the class, you are responsible for it, inshallah ta'ala, for the sake of learning and practicing, being number one. Number two, I will usually, inshallah ta'ala, begin probably next time or after next time, to pick randomly one, two, up to three individuals to give a summary of the previous class. A summary, let's say, of this class tomorrow. A summary of it of no more than between 7 to 10 minutes maximum, preferably actually even 5 minutes, especially if I'll have two or three individuals to summarize that. Summarizing that doesn't mean looking at your notes and then copying a few sentences. Summarizing means looking at your notes, reflecting, thinking, absorbing, putting your notes away, and putting what you absorbed in those 5 minutes to be read to me and to us, inshallah ta'ala, in class, for you to benefit, and for your brothers and sisters in the Sahbah, and myself also to benefit, inshallah ta'ala. Is that clear? So that summary of 5 minutes, preferably 2 to 3 of you, I will pick randomly. That means everyone must do that. And of course, alhamdulillah, you are a sahbah, you are people who made big sacrifice. You and your families, for 1 year you come here. These are very special people. It's not a regular, an ordinary person to make that decision. You are very extraordinary people. And therefore, I'm not going to, ma'adallah, to treat you as less than that. And therefore, you know, I'm going to put pressure on you so that you do that. You are extraordinary. You are not going to be people who know, oh, he's not going to call on me next time, so I'm not going to do my summary. If you do that, you're not extraordinary. You're ordinary. But you cannot be ordinary because you made that commitment in your life. And you have your professions, your engineers, your doctors, your lawyers, your kada, and then you did that for 1 year. That's very special. I'm proud to be with you, ya'lam Allah. So I'm going to treat you always that way, no less than that, inshallah ta'ala, in the hope also of myself learning from you through these interactive relationships, inshallah ta'ala. Thirdly, after every course, this is a course, and we have a second course, and a third course, and a fourth course at least. You know that in your orientation, I suppose. You know that you're going to do first Tazkiyat al-Nafs module, then Usul al-Fiqh module, then kada, and so on and so forth. By the end of each module, as it approaches, you will be requested and required to write a paper. A paper of at least 7 pages, one-sided. 7 pages, written, typed, properly spaced, inshallah ta'ala, and write a paper in which the paper is the summary of the entire course that you studied. That's in your studies, you're taking notes, you're pondering, you're reflecting, you're applying, you're practicing, and then at the same time, you're preparing for your paper and report that, inshallah ta'ala, you will give to me towards, and when I will ask you towards the end of the class, of the course, inshallah ta'ala. In the meantime, alhamdulillah, the intent is that what we learn, we need to review, remember, and we need to practice. Immediately put into implementation and practice, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. As we go along, we will learn also how to do more of those things. It will be gradual, inshallah ta'ala, but it will be consistent, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. And also you're learning Arabic, and oftentimes I will use Arabic sentences for the sake of practicing your Arabic in terms of understanding the technical Quranic and prophetic and scholarly Arabic language. I will do that from time to time as well, inshallah ta'ala. And it will be nice also if you keep up with that, inshallah ta'ala, and try to learn more of that scholarly technical Arabic as well, inshallah ta'ala. Dhuhr is in about 10 minutes, is it? Or less? 7 minutes. And this is the point at which you usually stop, and we collect our chairs, put them back, and you go continue with the rest walk. But be in dhikr, be in contemplation, be in reflection. You should not waste any time except in quality time. Even when you talk to each other, let it be quality talk. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa maulana muhammadin wa ala alih. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.